Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I joined the military halfway through my senior year of high school, wanting to serve my country.
I loved that I could keep up with the guys and work as hard as they did.
The professionalism, the camaraderie.
Getting out there and giving it my all.
That's what I chose to do.
Everything changed the day that I was raped.
A new documentary, opening tomorrow, that includes that excerpt, looks at the sobering statistic that a female soldier in combat zones is more likely to be raped by a fellow soldier than killed by the enemy. It's called The Invisible War. And I'm joined now by its director, Kirby Dick, its producer, Amy Ziering, and by Iraq War veteran, former Marine officer, Ariana Clay. That was part of the trailer from the film. One of the women, Ariana Clay is one of the women featured in the film. Welcome to all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kirby Dick, you cite the statistic that 20% of all active duty female soldiers are sexually assaulted. How is that possible?
Well, this is something that's been going on for a long, long time, and it is not getting any better. Just last year, according to the Department of Defense estimates, over 19,000 men and women were sexually assaulted in the U.S. military. Over the last several decades, hundreds of thousands have been assaulted.
Amy Ziering, we should point out that it isn't just women. There are actually greater numbers of men who are victims of sexual assault in the armed forces. I guess there are a lot more men there. But for women, it's a much larger proportion of the total number serving.
That's exactly correct. It is. There is actually more men that are assaulted, but proportionally more women.
And Ariana Kay, your story is one of those featured in the film. You had returned from Iraq and had this most prestigious posting at the Marine Barracks in Washington. And then?
An officer senior to me and his civilian friend assaulted me in my home in 2010. And the experience afterwards was an incredible amount of reprisal. And I just, after having good experiences in the military, I was really shocked.
You were threatened in the event that you reported the incident?
Yes, threatened with death if I did report the incident.
And what happened? What was the outcome of your case?
He was convicted of adultery and abuse of language and put in the brig for 45 days. This second perpetrator was granted complete immunity for testifying against me.
Adultery? As if the only victim was his wife?
Exactly.
In hearing the women in the film tell their stories, it sounds like what undoes them is not the actual assault, although even though, you know, these women suffer lasting physical harm in some cases, but the treatment afterwards by their fellow officers and superiors, it keeps coming up.
Right. I mean, the military is your identity. You give everything you have to it, and you place special trust and confidence in your leadership. And when your leadership betrays you and attacks you after this incredibly vulnerable and traumatizing experience, it really exacerbates the trauma.
And Kirby, that's what you found?
Oh, absolutely. We found that with every one of our subjects. I mean, these are subjects that were just devastated by this. Every one of our subjects had either attempted suicide or seriously considered it.
Here's a clip from the film of, I believe, a couple of former investigators, including one who was herself a victim of rape.
A lot of times the credibility of the witness was called into account, or had the potential victim, had she made claims like this in the past. There was a lot of witch hunting going on.
I was ordered to advise a victim of her rights for false statement when I knew that she wasn't lying. I was asked to bring her in and advise her of her rights like a criminal and interrogate her for false statement, quote-unquote, until I got the truth out of her.
So, Amy, how galling that NCIS is the most popular show on television and they don't come off very well in your documentary.
Well, unfortunately, that is true. What we found was that there's these perfect storm conditions that lead to the military not appropriately investigating and prosecuting these crimes. And part of the reason for that is that the commanders are not held accountable in any direct way for what goes on, for whether they actually choose to move forward or not on these cases. And what our film shows is that they really need to be held accountable for that action. And really, understand and take these crimes as seriously as they do all the other situations they're faced with.
And as the film points out, or someone in the film points out, this crime is especially devastating in an organization that trained soldiers to be willing to kill for their fellow soldiers, the band of brothers, quote unquote, and then your own family betrays you. Did you feel like that, Arianna?
I did. The degree of ostracism by your service members who you served alongside with is, in a time when you need social support the most, it's completely denied to you. And I think that's another aspect that increases the trauma.
What do you think explains, Kirby, the military's inability to come to grips with this problem? Is rape and retaliation just seen as the dark side of unit cohesion and camaraderie? Or is that way too simplistic?
Well, I think one thing I'd like to clarify here is that most men in the military are horrified by this. Most commanders are horrified by this. And we found when the film screened at Sundance, where it won the Audience Award, officers and enlisted would come up to us and thank us for making the film because they knew this was going on. The problem is the change is not going on at the top. Now, it started. I mean, Secretary Panetta has announced some important decisions, and that's great. But at this point, they've got to do a lot more. Really, they have to go after these, which are really serial perpetrators, with the same will that they fight a war and investigate, prosecute, and incarcerate them.
Is the problem somewhat a result of the military allowing women closer to combat without planning for inevitable unintended consequences? Amy, you're shaking your head. No,
that's a total misunderstanding of the situation. It doesn't have to do with allowing women in the military. Women in the military are some of our best service members, and it's just a matter of appropriately handling this situation. It's not at all a result of there being women in these combat situations or moved up in within the chain of rank.
The assumption of some seems to be that the rapes are the result of women regretting having had sex. Here's another clip from the film.
I could choose to report it, but if they found that what I was saying wasn't to be truthful, then that I would be reduced in rank.
You could lose your rate, you could lose rank, you could lose your school if you file a false report. So do you want to file a report?
Even with the rape kit and everything, and the person, my friend, catching him raping me, they still don't believe me.
And I think I misspoke setting up that clip and said the assumption by some is that the rapes are the result. It's the increased reporting of rapes, the result of women regretting having sex. But it's like the pre-feminist days of blaming the victims, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very similar to what we used to see pre-70s in the society at large, where, immediately people would challenge anyone's rape claim due to sort of ingrained misogyny. But it is categorically different in the military, though, and the way that that's what's so shocking to us is that the women and men in the military are not afforded the same respect and rights that they now are afforded in society at large, and that's what our film is trying to show.
Arianna Clay, your husband gets to one of the most intractable problems in this clip from the film.
This is an organization that gives commanders an unbelievable amount of power. And I felt it as a lieutenant in Iraq. It's scary. You appoint the prosecution, you appoint the defense, you appoint the investigator, you're in charge of the police force, you're in charge of the community. You own everything. You are a judge, you are a jury, you are executioner.
So, Arianna, is that why a lawsuit sought to bring in outside oversight of this process?
That's correct. I think bringing it to an independent judiciary seems to be the best solution right now. That they've proposed bringing up the chain of command. But I think that's, although a great step forward, as you bring up the command, the commander has more to lose as they increase their rank. So, but it is true that the commander has an incredible amount of power over the victim and the accused. And I've been in good commands and I've been in bad commands. And I think to take that conflict of interest out of the commander's hands is really important.
Amy Ziering, you have executive producers on this film with political connections, Jennifer Siebel Newsom, Maria Cuomo Cole, and I think it's important to mention that Defense Secretary Leon Panetta screened this film and perhaps partly as a result announced changes in policy shortly thereafter.
Yeah, Secretary Leon Panetta ran into one of our executive producers, Jennifer Siebel Newsom, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and he literally went up to her and said, thank you for making this film. I watched it on the plane the other day, and it literally is what compelled me in part to take these actions. And we were, like, incredibly grateful and heartened by that. And it's good first steps, but as Ariana said, we are concerned it is not enough, and that the real problem is the lack of oversight to these decisions. And we feel like moving it up the chain of command is a good start, but really what the military needs to do to own this problem and take it on that will definitively not eradicate but greatly reduce its numbers is to move it outside of the chain of command so there's no conflict of interest for these commanders when they make these decisions.
And what does that mean, Kirby, that they moved it up the chain of command?
Well, they moved it up to the level of colonel. So it's, they've taken the decision to investigate and prosecute away from the unit commander and moved it up to the level of colonel or a Navy captain. But, you know, I see the military as an option really to change the whole culture right now. They've done it in the past with racism, which was really bad in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And after a decade-long campaign, they reduced it so much that it was lower in the military than in the civilian world. And so, and not only was that good for the military, but it actually, when these men and women came out of the military, they took these values to the civilian world as well. The military can do the same thing with this issue of sexual assault. Rather than looking at this as only a problem, which is a very significant problem, it's also an opportunity for the military to act now.
And if I can point out, I think that's why the military has responded to it in this way. The film is not an anti-military film. Actually, all the service members we spoke to said, I'm only speaking out because I want the military to be as good as it can be. And this is a problem in the military which the military can solve. And so when we've shown it, you know, at these screenings and when Secretary Panetta saw it, they heard the critique and they saw the problem in a way that they haven't been able to put it together before. Right now, I mean, conventionally, it's been portrayed in the media as these anomalous, aberrant situations. You have Tailhook, you have Aberdeen, and it's sort of this scandal, you know, that's just some rogue, you know, service members. And what the film points out and strategically changes is actually this is a systemic institutional problem that's been going on for decades, that's chronic, and these flare-ups are just symptoms. And so we are hopeful that the military will understand this, see it, and own it in a way that it has not yet done, and really sincerely make the effort to make change, because we're losing too many people in too devastating a way.
It's a rare film or any piece of work that actually makes a difference in influencing public policy. It must be a good feeling, at least on that level.
We're extremely gratified. I mean, in addition to Secretary Panetta seeing the film subsequent to that, President Obama issued a first-of-its-kind statement about this issue. The Joint Chiefs likewise have come out. So it's all, you know, it's all very good. But part of this is raising widespread awareness and consciousness, as we saw with the Catholic Church. Once the public at large really understood the nature of this problem and its effects, things started to change. So we are hopeful that people will watch the film, see the film. It's coming out this weekend. Go to theaters, sort of vote with their feet.
But Ariana Clay, you and the other women were pretty adamant in the film that you would not recommend a military career to other women until changes are made. Is that how you feel today?
I do feel that way, and that's why I feel like it's so important to be part of this change and to support this change. We have the most technologically advanced military in the world, and this is not where we need to be in terms of its treatment of sexual assault victims.
How do other countries handle this? Have you looked into that, Kirby?
Yes, we have. And, for example, Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom, all have taken the decision to investigate and prosecute outside of the chain of command. And that's already showing great improvement.
Well, I want to thank all of you for coming in today. The Invisible War opens tomorrow in New York and other cities. Do you know? I don't have a list of
Los
theaters.
Los Angeles, San Francisco.
Oh, but in New York, do you know? Is
oh, yeah,
it one
it's
theater?
AMC 7, one theater.
Village. AMC 7 Village.
Opening tomorrow, The Invisible War. Director, Kirby Dick. Producer, Amy Ziering. Former Marine officer, Ariana Clay, whose story is featured in the film. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer in WNYC. Lisa Allison. Jody Abergun. Paige Cowett. Alana Casanova-Burgess produced this program. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan. Debbie Fountain and Leora Noam Kravitz at the audio control. Keep posting your responses to the question, how hot is it? Use the hashtag It's So Hot That at Brian Lehrer on Twitter. Talk to you tomorrow.